Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You're listening to First Time Dads.
With me, Richard Innes.
And me, Steve Meyer.
Hello, 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 everybody.
Welcome back to First Time Dads. We've had a little break over the summer, as you probably noticed.
The Hollybobs, as Steve called them in one of our last recordings. The Hollybobs, Jesus.
Yeah, it's not really a holiday, is it, though, sometimes?
Well, it's not really, no, not the summer. We've been sitting here chatting before we started recording about the fact that the summer is quite exhausting, as I find with children at home. I mean, Steve and I our eldest boys, respectively, are not quite at school going age yet, so school holidays aren't a thing.
As I expect most of our listeners.
You would assume. But I still find the summer thing is tough, man. I mean, you think it's really easy, right? That's your theory, that the summer makes life easier.
I think that being that it's daylight for longer, being that it's warmer, means that you can tip your kids out into the back garden or to a park quite easily. What I have noticed is apps like Hoop, which I use, some of you might
use. Oh, yeah.
A lot of their activities shut down because it's school holidays.
Yeah.
And also some of the paid, like, regular activities that Jackson has done have also shut down. So he went to a music thing at, like, a local conservatoire, which is basically learning about...
Oh, what? Conservatoire? What the hell is a conservatoire?
It's like a music school.
Bloody hell, man. Never even heard of that.
And he would go there every Friday morning and for like 45 minutes and learn about beat and rhythm and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, nice.
And you'd leave him there.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have to be in the room. And he doesn't do that anymore. So because it's been school holiday. So it's been a bit more tricky in that respect. But if it gets to 3 o'clock and they're driving you around the twist at home, you can just go, right, in the buggy, park.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And it's nice and dry. The sand is dry. The slide slides well. There's an ice cream van. And I just think that's much easier.
I think there's perhaps I'm looking at this from the wrong angle, in the sense that in the last winter, Ben probably wasn't still old enough to be really like pestering us about stuff. I want to do this, I want to do that. He was still quite little then. And actually, we've been I feel like I'm just constantly on the move. But I suppose that's just the nature of being a father of a toddler, right? I mean, it's just, there's always stuff to do. This thing, you've got to do this, and then the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. And I'm slightly concerned, actually, that when the winter comes around, I was thinking about this the other day, Like you were saying before, you know, it gets dark early. It's cold. It's wet outside. The idea of going outside is quite an operation, right? You've got to get wrapped up in all the layers, get the coat on, get the hat on.
Kids don't care about that.
On, and all that stuff. Yeah, but it still takes time and effort. Yeah. And actually, I can well envisage scenarios where, like, Ben, should we sit and watch Toy Story? Why don't you sit on my lap? We'll just sit and watch a bit of Toy Story.
I think also that you are experiencing what I experienced, which is when you have your second child. The difference between first and second, I'd say the biggest thing, is any spare time you had...
It's gone.
It's gone.
Gone, gone, gone.
So
gone,
you
gone.
Could you could not offload Ben, but Ben could be with mum while you're at home doing whatever, pottering around or whatever, you know, watering your cactus or whatever it is.
Watering my cactus?
Whatever you do at home.
Is that a euphemism?
I don't know. but whatever you do, you know, in your palatial mansion in Walthamstow...
Yeah, not a lot of those in Walthamstow, let me tell you.
You know, and now suddenly you haven't got any... a moment to yourself, except perhaps if you lock the bathroom door in the mornings when you're having a shower.
Yeah, I take an extra long time in the bathroom. My wife has actually noticed it. I feel like I've been rumbled. She's like, do you know how long you've been in that bathroom? It's like, yeah, I'm well aware. I'm just sitting there reading, you know, some like long
washing
feed.
My hair.
Yeah. I don't have any hair for those who haven't seen pictures of me. But yeah, I take, you know, I'll go in there and just read like some
Tolkien.
Massive 4,000 word feature on my phone, you know, just taking my time.
Playing Football Manager.
Football Manager, yeah, there is that as well. Stick Cricket is my one at the moment.
Okay.
It's a nightmare. It's really, really difficult. Anyway, sorry, I digress. But yeah, you're right. The time does go, and it does mean that it's eaten into. And so I'm looking for anything that keeps Ben stationary at the moment, which is terrible. I know it's like the wrong way around. You're supposed to kind of... So we get him out, run him around, get him tired. Let's go somewhere, do something. And then it's like, okay, phew, now he's tired enough that maybe he'll just sit down for a bit and
read a
book or do some puzzles or something.
I look for the most active, immersive activities I can find. on the basis that if he's focused on that, it gives me, I can just sit back and watch him. So I took on Friday, took Iris and Jackson to a dance class. Not like, you know, not we're not talking chorus line. It was more a kind of like, you know, organized. You pay your in a pub garden, you pay like a tenner for them both. And there's bubbles and there's scarves and there's puppets and there's different types of music. And they both walked off holding each other's hand and just did it for 45 minutes. And I was just sat watching them. And it was just, that was relaxing.
Just
watching your kids play.
Ben's just got to that stage. So Ben's 2.5. And he's just got to that stage where he's suddenly got all this imagination. So it was only a few months ago that, you know, you kind of had to help him along and sort of show him how to play with something or let's do something together. And now it's like you said, it's like he will sit there and he's pulling all these toys out of his big toy cabinet in the front room and getting his puzzles and all the rest of it. And he's just, you hear him chatting away, like inventing these characters and things coming together. And it is really nice, that feeling when you get to that stage where you can sit and watch him and you can watch his little personality in action. You know, it's really, really nice.
We broke out last week. I think Zoe had them on Thursday and she took them to a museum in South London near us called the Horny Man Museum.
Oh, I know that. It's nice.
It's got an exhibition on there at the moment called Brick World about Lego. And they built landmarks from all over the world out of Lego. And there's a play area where you can play with the Lego. I'd taken them before and Jack's been playing with like the Duplo bricks, which are the slightly larger Lego bricks. And Zoe took him last week and he was playing with the proper Lego.
Oh, the big boy Lego.
The big boy Lego. So I know that in their basement, there is a massive box of Lego from when I was a little boy. And so Jackson's been passed over the Lego from when I was a little boy. And now he's like... It's not building, you know, cars and stuff, but he is able to put the bricks together and there's enough of it that it's sort of inexhaustible.
And the speed at which he'll get better at it will be frightening as well.
Exactly. Just need to make sure Iris doesn't swallow it.
My mum and dad have got, at their house, they've got all the old cars that me and my little brother used to play with when we were little. And it's really weird watching like my brother's kids and now Ben as well. Playing with the same stuff that me and my brother were playing with at that age. It's really freaky because you have like little flashbacks. Oh, God, I remember that used to be my favourite micro machine.
Remember
you know,
that
it's
Rover
that kind of
2000?
Oh, it's micro machines. I bloody love micro machines. Anyway,
if
again,
you're listening, anyone from Lego or micro machines, public relations teams,
send us stuff.
Thank you. we thought we'd just drop in, say hi, give you a little catch up, and give you a little taste of what might be coming up over what is definitely coming up in the next few weeks.
Yeah, season 3. See, we you may have noticed the kind of weird way we've broken up these things. We basically season 1 ended up being 50 episodes long because we just kind of were doing it. And then I think it might have been Steve said, should we have a break? I was like, yeah, that's probably a good idea. Yeah. So we sort of stopped there because 50 seemed a nice round number. And then we had season 2, which was a nice little package of 10 episodes. And now here we are in season 3.
Episode 1, season 3. Feel free. We're not in a position to give you them all in one go so you can binge box set style. But
yeah, we're not that important. I'm not sure it would have worked like Netflix style, really. Just hit the net with all of it at once.
We want you to listen to them in the right order.
Well, of course. Yeah.
So who have we got coming up, Rich?
We have got, in no particular order, Steve, largely because we
haven't decided what order we're putting them out.
Well, I was going to say because we forgot to bring it in with us before we sat down to record. We're like, hang on, who have we had on this thing? Oh, yeah. So we interviewed, just the other day, the very lovely Connie Huck.
Former Blue Peter presenter and wife of Black Mirror creator Charlie Brooker.
Yeah, she wrote one of the Black Mirror episodes, which is one of the better ones, definitely. Very smart, very funny.
More tangents in this chat. We just go all over the place. But it is entertaining.
Yeah, she was on because she's written a children's book and she has two boys who are slightly older than our kids. And she was amazing. I mean, geez, that, like you said, that was all over the map. Like, we covered everything in an hour. That was mental. We've also had one that I was particularly happy about was Alan Wynne Jones, because I'm a bit of a rugby fan. And if you're not a fan of the old egg chasing, Alan Wynne Jones is the Welsh rugby captain. He's one of the sort of most legendary figures in recent years within world rugby. Played for the Lions.
Father of two.
That's the important bit, yeah. So we were talking to him about, sort of the weird contrast between being a proper rugby player, because he plays in the second row, which means he's right in the midst of it. Lots of scrapping, lots of big physicality, and the kind of weird contradiction between being that and then being daddy at home. That was really interesting.
He's got two daughters, hasn't he?
Two daughters. Found that he had studied to be a lawyer before he became a rugby player. Like, really smart guy, really insightful, loads of really interesting stuff in there.
And it definitely resonates with us as some respect to him.
Yeah, 100%.
And on a more serious level, we had like an expert in from Daisy First Aid who teaches first aid courses to parents of young children who want to know what to do when things go might go bad, what to look out for. And that was useful.
That was really, so I was maybe a little bit
blasé.
Blasé is a good word for it. I was going to say something ruder. But yes, I was perhaps a little bit blasé. And I kind of assumed, oh, this will all be stuff I know anyway. And actually, the lady we had on was brilliant because she completely shattered a lot of my preconceptions. I was like, oh, right, that's not what you do when your child's choking. Blimey, right. So having recorded that podcast, I feel more prepared for the worst. So that's probably a good thing.
And we also spoke to a professor from Brown University in the States called Emily Oster, who has done written a book about, she's analysed basically all the things about parenting and what the data says about what the good advice is and what the bad advice is, whether or not they're like old wives' tales or whether there is actually some benefit to some of the stuff.
Which one of the things there was that feeling that, and I remember saying this to her when we recorded it, this seems so obvious. Why hasn't someone done this before? Mm. Because we, as we all know, as parents, all you, Steve and I, but all you guys listening as well, or if you're about to be parents, you are getting inundated with advice. And a lot of it is a load of nonsense based on nothing. So here is somebody, an academic with a huge amount of expertise in this area, who has been able to go away and actually scientifically analyse this advice and come back and say, no, that's all nonsense.
So that's a good listen. And she led us on to one of our other guests, actually, a guy called Tom Phelan.
She recommended him while we were recording, actually, didn't she?
Who is a expert, I guess, in child discipline, would you say?
Yeah, I think that's
child discipline sounds like you're going to...
An American guy.
Hit him with a stick, but he's got this book and method called 1-2-3 Magic, which we won't tell you how it works, because otherwise won't listen to the podcast. But
good point,
It is good, and you will recognise some of the techniques you probably come across already.
You might be using some of it, actually, without even realising
exactly,
you're
like
using
time
it.
Time out, that kind of stuff. So he's a really good listen.
That was really handy.
And that book's a big seller in the States, so you know, he's obviously very popular over there.
Who
else did we have, Rich?
We had Jennifer Day, Intuitive Parenting.
Another expert.
I mean, we do like our experts, because that's the idea here, is we're supposed to be, you know, giving you information you can use rather than just us two waffling on.
But she talks about how you kind of know what you should be doing as a parent, and the fact that if you are already doing it, you're probably on the right lines, and it's the parents that don't really get engaged with the process that are the ones that struggle a little bit.
If you're, it's one of those things that I think we've heard a few times from different experts on the podcast. If you're worried about your kids, and if you're worried, more specifically, if you're worried about whether or not you're doing the right thing, the chances are you're doing a good job. Because the very fact that you're thinking, oh, am I doing this right, or should I be doing that? That means you have an intuitive feel for this, and therefore you should probably just chill out. I'm talking to myself there more than anyone else, to be honest with you.
But it's been good doing these up-and-coming episodes. We've enjoyed it. It'd be nice to have a little break, refocus, that kind of stuff. But
yeah,
I hope you are still all enjoying it. Please let us know by the usual email method at firsttimedads@reachplc.com.
And let us know which podcast platform you are listening on. You know, if you're... Drop us an email or drop us a message or whatever. You know, you can find Steve and I on Twitter. I'm at Big Rich Innes and Steve is at Steve Mile Eats. And let us know, you know, let us know what you're listening to, what you think of the podcast, any suggestions you've got. You know, we're always open to that. And we've had a couple of listeners get in touch with fairly remarkable stories of their own, which we're quite interested in turning into episodes. So if you've done something, you know, that you find interesting, or if you've been through an experience that you think might be worth sharing with similarly minded people who will be listening to the podcast here, then get in touch.
Yeah, and if you've been inspired to do anything by listening to us, like if you're someone that's taken up some shared parental leave because you've heard us talk about it a lot, I think we've got some stuff coming in next month's Men's Health magazine where we've been talking about, I've been talking to them about shared parental leave and the benefits and that kind of stuff. And I noticed today there's been we're talking on Monday the 2nd of September, that Deloitte, the accountancy firm, have announced they're doubling the length of paid parental leave for dads, so from 2 weeks to 4 weeks. So that's a real good step in the right direction.
Yeah, it's all going in that direction, isn't it? I think that's, well, hopefully, fingers crossed. I mean, that reminds me of another pod that we haven't mentioned, Matt Farquharson.
Yes.
Am I saying that right? I am saying
that right. Papa Pucker.
Papa Pucker, you might know him. So his wife is Mother Pucker.
Yes.
And he is Papa Pucker. And he was brilliant. He's the cool kids would call influencers.
They've got a podcast.
They have massive social media followings. Really funny, a really funny couple, really funny individually. He came in to see us, and we talked a lot about that because he's just recently finished a book.
Yeah, they've got a campaign together about flexible working.
Yeah, flexible working. So we talked a lot about that, as well as the realities of what marriage and children does to a relationship. And you won't be surprised to learn that all his research has learned it's not good.
Basically, what we've discovered.
If you want to have a happy relationship,
three and
don't
a half
get married,
years
don't have kids.
Is yeah. If we had not spotted it by staring around ourselves, that it can have a slightly negative impact in some
funny
aspects.
That, isn't it? These little creatures that take over your entire life and dictate everything you do and make you tired and irritable.
It reminds me of that famous Princess Diana quote, which she said, there were three of us in this relationship. There's actually four of us in my relationship now.
Yeah, yeah, so likewise.
Including another man and another woman.
Although I have to say, at the moment, I don't feel like I'm even in my relationship because it feels like when I'm in my house, there is a little dictator who just dictates everything.
Lindsay is not a dictator.
No, she most certainly is not.
You're definitely number three in the pecking order, though, aren't you?
Probably four, I would say. Well, actually, it depends if you include the cat. If you include the cat, maybe five.
Yeah.
Ben is absolutely running our house at the moment, and it, you know, like, to the point where it's actually quite concerning because Lindsay was
doing the Ocado shop.
Wait, he would think he could. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Ben can do it. No, you can't do the Ocado shop, son.
Well,
I'm going to have to do it.
Started opening the kitchen cupboards and getting food out and putting it in a bowl and then eating it. Well, he can open the freezer and get a nice lolly out now.
That's not bad. The problem is with Ben that he will not. And this is the thing. Lindsay keeps telling me he's just doing what 2-year-olds do. And this is one of my fundamental problems. Is this actually the case? Are all 2-year-olds like this, or is he being particularly difficult? And you never know the answer because I've only got one 2-year-old. I don't bloody know. Maybe all other 2-year-olds are as difficult as that. I don't know. But he will not. He just completely runs the house, completely, to the sense where we have to play to his tune. Otherwise, it's, you know, all out war. Mm. And I do, I think maybe we should talk about this in another podcast because I think this is an interesting,
perhaps.
This is ripe for discussion.
We're doing that bit at the moment where Jackson is testing to see how far he can take it. So to the point at which he crashed up his Lego and dropped it on the floor the other day. And I was like, well, you're not going anywhere till you pick that up. It's like, no, I don't want to.
Yeah, that's so, okay, Ben's doing the same thing.
Well, Jackson, well, you are going to pick it up. And you can see Zoe's looking at us too, and it's heightening. She's like,
yeah,
intervenes and says, Jackson, I'll help you pick it up.
Yeah.
And then suddenly he starts to do it.
But oh, he does do it though.
He can, but he can see that I'm,
yeah,
that he's having a face off.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And then he started crying, and I put him outside and said, like, when you can't calm down, this is a sunny day. It's not like, you know, 8 o'clock at night in the rain before social services come on to me. So he's like, I don't like
leave
the idea
overnight.
Of putting outside because he's crying. I'm like, well, yeah, but we're just going to heighten
each
other.
At some point, you've got to have a boundary.
So I'm going outside or he's going outside.
Yeah.
I know I'd prefer to go outside.
I mean, I did. It's funny that you're saying that because I know Ben's a little bit younger, but he's doing some similar things at the moment. And, you know, the other day at the weekend, in fact, a couple of days ago, I found myself doing that thing of looking at the ceiling and sort of growling under my breath, what am I going to do with this kid? Because it's like, because you kind of think, right, well, I've used up all my ammo there. So he'd done, I can't remember what it was, he did something where he started throwing things because he wasn't getting his way because I wouldn't turn the TV on unless it's not TV time right now, Ben. You can watch some TV later before bedtime. Right now, we're going to do something else. Choose a toy. We're going to play.
Distraction.
Yeah, okay. And he just started going off and he started throwing things. And I said, right, that's it. Time out. Picked him up, put him by the back door, which is where our little timeout zone is. And I said, right, you are going to stand here. And he starts screaming and shouting. I said, no, you're going to stand here. You're going to be quiet. You're going to wait for 2 minutes and I'm going to come back and get you because you have, that was really naughty and you know that's naughty. You don't throw things. No, it's not naughty.
I'm not your friend anymore.
Yeah. So I walk back into the other room, like the other side of the room, and he just follows me. So I pick him up again. I told you, you're going to stand there and wait because you're in a timeout. And then he just walks back and says, no, I'm not in a timeout. And that was the point at which I looked at the ceiling and went, what am I going to do with this kid? Because what do you do in that situation?
Well, you see, we put Jackson in a place that's the other side of the door.
Yeah.
So he can't come through the door. But what I do find is Iris sees that happen and then she wants to go and sit with him. She's like, Jack. So he opens the door and he's like, hi, Iris, come and sit on the step with me.
And suddenly it's
and
fun.
Suddenly it's fun.
But then I see what I ended up doing there. I think I sort of bailed myself out in the end because he had walked away from the timeout spot. And again, I said to him,
"Right, that's your 2 minutes."
It was kind of like, "Right, are you going to be nice? Are you going to be a nice boy now?" Which was a bit of a gamble, because if he said no, I don't know what I was going to do. And he looked up at me and said, "Yes, yeah, sorry, Daddy." I said, "Right, let's have a cuddle." And so we had a cuddle, and then we just pretended like nothing had happened.
Yeah.
And we went and on we went, and it was fine. But it's those moments. It's like, where do you, how do you cope with those situations? I don't know what to do
you
about
just
it.
Just got to take yourself out. It's so hard to do. You got to take yourself out of it before you feel your hackles escalate.
Yeah, mine go like that, boom, and then it's too late because I'm already into that face off with them. And Lindsay will say, "Don't, just leave it, let it go." Like, I can't let it go because I'm into it now.
Mummy,
and he has to know.
Grab me.
He has never said that.
Little grass.
Yeah. No, it's more those things where I'm in that battle where I know I have to win now because I'm the dad.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's terrible. Isn't it?
I try and watch what happens at nursery, to be honest. I try and see the techniques that the nursery assistants use with him.
Yeah.
And they have a tone of voice and they go into it and they do get down to his eye level.
Yeah.
And they do say, "Mister, what were you just doing?" Or, "You don't do that." And there's a definite change from the la-di-da, happy da to the discipline thing. And he does get it.
Yeah, I do that.
And
I think
you kind of have to spend some time on that bit of the relationship.
It takes a while. I mean, I do that thing. He knows that he has to look at me. So when I say to him, "Right, Ben," and if he's not looking and he's distracted, and then I get slightly louder and I say, "Ben," and I say, "Right, Daddy's talking to you. Look at Daddy." And then eventually we'll look around and then we can have a conversation. But at first it's making him see that, no, we're having a conversation now, son, you're going
to
listen.
And you've got to be careful not to ban things.
Because you can go nuclear too quickly.
Dear.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
I've sold the TV by the time, 10 minutes later.
You will. There will be no more fun today. And then Lindsay's looking at me like, "God, what are we going to do if we don't take him outside? What are you talking about?"
Exactly.
God, yeah. No, that's true, isn't it? God, here we go again.
This is all good practice for teenagers and computer games. I'm certain about it.
Yeah, because I keep thinking, I have this idea in my head that everything's going to get a bit easier, once I get to school age and da-da-da-da-da. My older siblings and my parents both keep reminding me, it'll be worse when he's 14.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing when he's two. When he's 14, you'll want to throttle him.
Do you not remember the, "I don't care what Richard Innes' parents let him do.
This is
our house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we'll do it by our rules.
And if he jumped off a cliff, would you want to jump off a cliff too?"
Yeah.
I used to get that one.
Exactly.
Yeah, oh God, all to come. Ho-hum.
Ho-hum.
Well, on that very positive note, keep listening.
Probably enough of us for now.
Yeah, probably enough. Yeah, that's more
but
than
we'll
enough.
Be back on every Wednesday.
Well, that's the aim. That's the goal.
Every Wednesday.
I mean, we've got all this stuff in the bag, of course. So, it's all good stuff.
Good stuff to look forward to. But get in touch, give us a shout, and also please leave us a review on iTunes. It really does help other people
find us. Bumped up the charts. Look, we're not going to pretend. You are not stupid people. You understand what we're doing here. We're trying to get ourselves bumped up the charts, but it is for a good reason. The higher up in the charts we are, the more people listen, the more of a community we can build, all those things. So give us a rating, give us a review. It would be very much appreciated. Thank you, folks.